Thank you for being here. You know, I appreciate it. We release a new episode every Monday and Thursday of Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life. That is our mission. Episode number 43 today, my guest, Carolyn Blazovsky. Health starts in the home. So let me ask you this. Do you have a healthy home? If not, it could be why you're always sick and feel like garbage. She shares the tips and secrets to an environmentally non-toxic home. Follow the tips and advice that she gives. And you know what? I think you're going to find a healthier you and your family's going to be healthier too. Check out her tips on this episode coming up. And if I could ask a favor, just hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to catch every episode. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
All right, very cool to have Caroline Blazovsky on with us today. Caroline is a national healthy home expert with over 16 years of experience working with the public and physicians to create healthy living spaces and improve wellness. Her certifications in education include knowledge of mold, indoor air quality, chemicals in the home, green building, healthy homes, and allergies. Caroline was featured in AARP this year as a leading health and safety expert, and she is a public educator on radio, television, and print. And she is here to share healthy home tips for you. Caroline, so happy to talk with you today. Can you first let us in on your personal life? Who are you when you're not saving the world?
That's a great question. I am a healthy home expert by trade, and I'm pretty much a person interested in really trying to promote wellness and getting people healthy, and I think that just comes to me naturally, so that's sort of who I am, and I'm fortunate to do that for my work as well.
Well, that's nice when you can put the two of them together like that. Very cool. Well, Caroline, I like to start the show with what I call the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
The most important thing you can do is really look at your home. And if you want to improve wellness and start making changes and just live a healthier, a better lifestyle, your home is a big key to how you're going to feel and be. So start looking at your home as your answer.
So I think that's an afterthought. Sometimes you really don't think about that. You think of the proper diet, you think about exercise, you think about lifestyle, but not the actual physical space you live. So let's get started on that. In the home, what's one of the first things we should look at or do to create a healthier home?
Well, I think your home should be your haven, and it should be a place where you rejuvenate, you rest, you feel good. But unfortunately, there's a lot of things that can go wrong in a home, and we take them for granted. So when you're a homeowner, or if you rent, or you have an apartment, you have to really start to remember that there are a lot of things in a home that can unfortunately lead to bad situations that could contribute to unhealthy people in living in the home. So those things are like mold, pet dander, dust, toxic chemicals, polluted water. So what you want to do is start examining those once a year. That's my tip, is that every year, just like you go to the doctor and you get a physical, I want you to start doing one thing for your home and testing your home to see if it's healthy.
So let's talk about mold first. You mentioned that. And I like how you said whether you live in a home, you rent, you have an apartment, a condo, whatever, these are tips you can use in those settings. So let's talk about mold first. What do we need to know about mold? What do we need to look for? What should we do?
Well, I think molds are interesting, and I like to give a little science behind it because not everybody understands mold, and they think that every mold that they see is toxic mold that we hear about. So molds are great because they basically outside in the environment where they belong, they disrupt material, break down organic material, and they're good for the environment. But once we get them in our homes, they kind of have three things that they do. So they're like people. They need food and air and water, just like we do. And when they grow on your shower or you see them on a piece of fruit, that fuzzy stuff you see growing, that fuzzy stuff has proteins or sugar-like compounds in it that can cause inflammation in the body. So that's the first thing they do. So they've got this makeup that causes inflammation to us. The second thing that they can do is sort of like smoking cigarettes in your home. I say mold smoke cigarettes. They basically put out a gas called what we call an MVOC. And this gas can also contribute to poor health or poor indoor air quality in a home. So that's the second thing they do. And thirdly, if you have what we call toxic mold, those are the things that you hear about where people get very sick in their home. They may be immune compromised, breathing problems, asthma. Those types of molds put off a mycotoxin. So these three things are what makes mold very, very dangerous and disruptive to our living environment and can really contribute to poor health effects. So that's why we don't want them there.
So three bad things. They cause inflammation. They put out a gas. Is that what you can smell when something smells moldy, when you say they put out a gas? Is
mm-hmm.
that it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can wait when you walk into a house and it hits you, right? You've got this musty smell in the air. And sometimes you can't smell them too. So if they're in walls, and we do a really unique test at where I work and the company that I've designed, and we actually can test molds now by the gas that they produce. It's very unique. Not a lot of people do it. We usually trap a mold in a spore count, which is a typical mold test where you do an air sample and you trap these molds in a cassette and then we know how many you have. But now we have a way of testing where we also test their gases that they produce. So if you don't see them, they're behind your kitchen, they're behind your bathroom. These are typical places where molds grow that you'll never know you have a problem. And we're able to kind of take air samples and then sample how much of these gases they may be producing to see if you have a problem.
And those are the toxic molds, even though you can't smell them or see them, they may be growing and they are toxic, causing you to be sick?
Yeah, some of the molds that you hear about, Stachybotrys is one of them. These are molds that carry this mycotoxin, which is the mold itself is bad, but it also puts off a toxin into your environment that can make you quite sick. So when you test, you have the ability to see if you have these types of molds in your home, specifically if you do what we call a spore trap, where you capture molds. We look for these toxic molds as well. So when you have a problem in your home, it's really important to test because you want to know, do I have toxic mold? Do I not have toxic mold? Do I have just regular high counts of mold? Do I not have any mold? Are my bathrooms and kitchens aging? Do I have mold behind the walls where I can't see it? And what I recommend to my clients is that they test every 3 to 5 years. You should do a mold test to kind of gauge where you are in this spectrum of, do I have a lot of mold, a little, and am I going to have to do remodeling down the line?
Now, how do you do this mold test? Is there a kit you can buy at a home improvement store, or do you need a professional to come in?
There's professionals, obviously, that you can hire. An indoor air quality professional can do mold testing, but now we have a kit. It's called the Examinaire. It's examinaire.net. It's a wonderful kit. We designed it in 2005, so it's been out for quite a while. And we use that with physicians, and anyone in the country can test their home for mold, which is fantastic. My point on education is that, look, we know these things can really disrupt our health. We know that they're not always easy to find, and they may be hidden behind sources as your bathrooms age. My rule of thumb is once you get over 20 years for a bathroom or a kitchen, it's really time for a remodel. You don't want to wait until you have these problems. You want to be proactive. So you can use a test kit. You can test a couple samples in your home, one outside as your baseline, and then it goes to our laboratory, and then we have the results back within a couple of days. So it's real easy to do.
And we'll put a link to that website on the show notes page at radiomd.com. And what if you do the test and it comes back positive? Then what?
Well, there's different levels. Like sometimes it comes back and you have to do remediation. You have toxic mold and it's something that's really going to impact your health, or you may be having health symptoms already. Sometimes it's an indicator where it shows us that, look, there's something going on in your basement or in your kitchen. It's not a dire emergency right now, but you need to start putting it in the back of your mind as something you're going to have to do, or a project, because a lot of these projects, as you know, I'm sure you're a homeowner, it takes, you know, quite a bit of funds when you're going to do a kitchen or a bathroom remodel. So it's something you have to put on your pipeline as, I'm saving money for this, I've got to get it done. So it's a good indicator as to where your house is and how healthy it is. And then, you know, not every situation is always an emergency where you have to do it right away.
Oh, yes, I can relate. The money pit. I'm in it right now. Gosh darn it. Okay, so mold, that's one of those things we hear a lot about. Do you have tips that we can do in our own homes or apartments to inhibit the growth of mold? I mean, we hear about, you know, run the fan for 20 minutes after a shower. What are some of the other tips to help keep mold out of our homes?
What makes mold grow is, you know, obviously you think about leaks and flooding and, you know, if you have a pipe or bathroom leak, something like that's very common to us. Like, we know we don't want to have water intrusion and water dripping for extended periods of time because we'll get mold. But what also happens a lot, and I call it one of the invisible sources of mold, is relative humidity. And it's something people don't really understand. We have moisture that comes into our homes because of weather patterns, because of condensation on our basement walls, and concrete is cold and the air comes in and it's warm and we condensate this water vapor, because water isn't always just in a liquid, it can be in a gas. So we form water vapor and relative humidity, and what happens is when that relative humidity gets too high in our homes, it causes us to have water, which molds love to proliferate on. So they're just like us, right? They need mold, they need water and food and things like that. So what you want to do is you want to keep your relative humidity between 30 and 50% in your home, and this is really done by getting a little relative humidity monitor, just going down to a local hardware store, picking up a relative humidity monitor, and you want to just watch it, and you want it to stay between 30 and 50%. If you get over 50%, you start going 55, 65, 75%, then you start to know that this moisture content in your air is a problem, and it could be contributing to mold, bugs, and then also dust mites. So just controlling your relative humidity in your house is so important and so helpful to keeping your home healthy on so many fronts.
And does a dehumidifier help in that situation where you can kind of set the range? I know I have one in my basement, and you can set the range, so you should have it between 30 and 50% then.
Right. So certain times of year, like now, you'll be much lower because of the climate, and you'll run about 20%, and that's normal for winter temperatures. It depends where you live in the country, right? Some of my clients are in California. Some of my clients are in Florida. So it really depends. In the Northeast, where I am, because of the weather changes and, of course, this influx where we'll have really cold ground and really warm temperatures that meet during spring and fall, we get a lot of high relative humidity. And because of that, you have to run a dehumidifier like you're talking about, because if you don't, within 2 years, if you have a finished basement, if you have drywall, sheetrock, things like that, that molds grow on because they like this as food, it's like yummy to them, they will start to grow in your basement. So it's really important, just for if you don't do anything else in your house, and it's just a simple tip, monitor your relative humidity. Start getting in a habit of just picking up a monitor, putting it on the lower level of your home, the lowest level. So if you have a slab, you'll put it on your slab. If you have a basement, you'll put it in the basement. And just monitor these levels. And this is really going to help to keep bugs and dust mites and all the things that feed on moisture down. And it's a simple thing to do, and you can really, really improve your health and just your surroundings by doing that.
That is a great tip. And what if we see mold growing in a bathroom or somewhere? Should we just scrub it off? What do we do?
The key is it a repeat offender? So does it keep coming back after you remove it? Typically, when you start to see mold growth around your showers and, you know, you'll wipe it away and it comes back, it's usually a problem behind the wall. So when you shower or you take a tub or you take a bath or you have a toilet bowl, these things sweat, right? So when you get hot water and then the outside is cold or vice versa, you get condensation that happens under your tubs and under your showers all the time. So eventually what happens is you will start to grow mold because we've brought water sources inside. You know, we weren't meant to have water indoors. And now that we do, this becomes problematic. So when you start to see the mold on the outside, it should start to trigger you that there's probably something going on behind the walls. And, you know, you're going to have to gauge when you're due for a bathroom remodel. I say 20 years is max for bathrooms and kitchens. But and now with newer products, unfortunately, a lot of the products we're using are not as competent. They don't hold up as well as the older products did. And we really have to do bathrooms more frequently. But keep that in your back of your mind. 20 years, and if your bathroom is older and you keep seeing repeated mold growth, it's time to, you know, look at a remodel.
And that's where that mold test would come in very handy that you were talking about earlier.
Exactly. And that'll tell you exactly what's going on and how much you're breathing in and what's in your airspace. And that's why when you do it every 3 to 5 years, it keeps you on a schedule. So I say every year you're going to do one thing for your house. That could be mold test, could be a radon test, could be a water test, could be formaldehyde, could be pet proteins and danders. There's so many things that go wrong in a home that we look at. And just staying on top of one thing a year really helps to just sort of keep you on a schedule, because your home is the place where you spend most of the time. You sleep there most of the time, and it really impacts your health more than people realize. Your work environment as well, but our homes are particularly important because they should be the place where we come home to and we can rejuvenate and feel better and not be as stressed and have our bodies be stressed. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
Right. So let's talk about some of the other things in our homes, like our furniture, carpeting, textiles like drapes and bedding sheets and other things like that. What do we need to be concerned about? What should we look for? What should we buy? All that kind of stuff.
Well, one of the biggest concerns we have now is you probably heard about it with the flooring issue, you know, back a couple months ago, about a year ago.
Right.
We had the whole issue with the flooring coming from China and not being regulated for formaldehyde. And formaldehyde is a carcinogen that we find in a lot of personal care products. We find it in building construction. It's a naturally occurring thing, too. People don't realize that, but it actually occurs naturally in wood. So if you were to put wood cabinetry in or wood flooring, naturally you're going to have formaldehyde. The problem becomes when this level gets too high. And the way that we build in the United States, we add a lot of formaldehyde to our products. So that's flooring, cabinetry, any kind of furniture can have it. So what you need to do is really, really do a formaldehyde test. And it's important to look at your formaldehyde level and know what it is, especially if you've just bought new construction, if you've just done a major building remodel, something that may have triggered this level to go up. And it's very easy to reach an unsafe level. And people think, oh, well, you know, it's not something I need to worry about. But unfortunately, it is. And we're learning more and more about formaldehyde. And there's a report that came out in 2009. It was the Presidential Cancer Report. And anyone can get this information. It's public. You just type in Presidential Cancer Report 2009. And it lists all the different things that we really need to be concerned about as contributors for cancer. And a lot of these things that we're talking about today, you know, are on this list. And it's important for people to pick that up or just glance through it and get an idea of the things that you could be exposed to that could be impacting your health.
And how do you test for that then?
Formaldehyde is really actually a simple test. It's an air test that we send to you, or you can have an indoor air quality professional do it. And basically it takes about 25 minutes, and you just take an air sample, and it goes to the lab, and we can tell you the range of, you know, where your house is in compared to other houses across the country and where we think a safe level for you should be. Unfortunately, in the United States, I look at a lot of houses, and I've seen thousands of houses over the years, and we have a problem with it in this country, the way that we build. So we know that we're a little higher than, say, the European standard. So formaldehyde is an issue. And because it is a known carcinogen, it is important to monitor for it, I think.
Is that in mainly cabinets and furniture that we have to assemble? If you buy a solid piece of oak, do you still have to worry about that?
Well, you will. Like I said, formaldehyde is naturally occurring, so you can get it in wood. So if you did a big wood remodel project, you would generally just raise your formaldehyde naturally just because it's there. But what happens is they have natural your wood, and then they add it to products. So that's what happened with the whole issue with the Chinese lumber that came over, was that it had been registered as non-formaldehyde, but they were adding formaldehyde to it and too much of it. So you've got to be really careful about where you're buying products. And, you know, anybody listening to the show, it's important to pick up an MSDS sheet, which is a material safety data sheet, on your products that you're putting in. Know where your products are coming from. Be familiar with the company and ask questions. Like, don't be afraid to, when you're purchasing something, don't feel like you're asking too many questions, because unfortunately, we need to be buyer beware, and not everything that we get has been tested in this country. And, you know, we take for granted that things are safe, and they may or may not be. So you really need to test and know and be comfortable with the products you're choosing to put into your home.
So look for that MSD sheet, another great tip. And what about carpeting? We hear so much about outgassing of carpeting. Talk to us about that.
Well, carpeting has a lot of dyes. I mean, outside of it, most carpeting, you can pick up a nylon carpet or you can pick up a wool carpet. That doesn't concern me as much, but it's the dyes that go into the carpeting. Most companies have removed formaldehyde in the carpeting itself, so that's not something that I'm as concerned about. But I do recommend to my clients to try to go with lighter colored dyes, because they have less chemical compounds that can be irritating, especially to people with asthma, allergies. So, you know, if you're going to go with a carpet, try going with a lighter tone, because obviously to dye something darker requires more chemical compounds involved with it. So that's my big recommendation. But really try to stick to hardwood floor, tile. I'm not a big fan of laminates and engineered flooring, because obviously there's more glues, resins, can be more formaldehyde in those products. So you want to try to stick to the whole grade products and try not to, you know, go as much with the engineered if you're concerned about your indoor air quality.
So what is a good kind of carpeting to buy? You mentioned nylon and wool. Is that okay?
Yeah, I mean, people, again, carpets trap everything. So my big thing is if you're going to have carpeting in your home, you really don't want to be wearing shoes in the house. So you want to try to avoid tracking things in from the outside, because when you go outside, you step in all kinds of things, from pesticides to petroleum products to bacteria to mycotoxins and mold, and then you drag that into the carpet, and unfortunately it's really hard to get it out, and it gets embedded in your carpet as well as skin cells. We shed dander, pet shed dander, that gets trapped in, and then we see people have elevated dander counts, which can contribute to inflammation and also dust mites and things like that. So carpets can harbor things. If you're going to have a carpet, I really want you to vacuum frequently. My rule of thumb is for how many people you have in the house. So say you have five, and pets count as people too. So if you have two adults and two pets, that's four. Then you need to vacuum four times a week. If you have two people in the house, two times a week. If you have seven people in the house, seven times a week, especially if you have carpets, and you need to be using HEPA vacuum and a closed system on the vacuum. So that's where you're not getting a lot of blowback from the system. It's a filtered motor, so that you're not getting a lot of the dust and debris as the motor kicks up, you know, things as it operates. You're not getting that back into the air.
And what about the drapes and other things like that in our house? What do we need to be concerned with there?
Yeah, you want to vacuum, and also furniture too. You want to vacuum your furniture and your draperies frequently, because one, they get dust, they acquire, you know, dander and dust settles, and especially in couches. People forget to vacuum their couch and they say, oh, you know, I don't really do that, but it's really important to, especially if you have a lot of fabric. You want to vacuum. I do mine probably really well every 2 weeks or so, where you take the tool and you only want to use the one tool designated on your vacuum for that particular, you know, for sofas and things. You don't want to use a tool that you use on the floor and then use it on your sofa. So, you know, vacuum everything religiously, go through all the, you know, the cushions, and really try to keep your dander counts down, because those things, we shed dander just like pets do. People think like pets are the cause of dander, but us as humans, we also shed. And when you do, you accumulate that in a house, and it's microscopic. You don't see it. Those are some of the things we test for, these microscopic things that you don't see. So when you these things pile up, the dust mites feed on them. So you get inflammation coming, then you get dust mites, and then they raise, and then you get their feces, which causes inflammation in the body. So all these things like build inflammation in our body. And the whole idea of wellness is we're trying to reduce these things so that people get well. And when I work with physicians, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at, okay, how do we get this person healthy? They have all these kind of nondescript symptoms that we're not sure where they're coming from. And the doctors look at their blood work, they look at urine tests, and they say, you know, this person looks relatively healthy, but they have symptoms. And that's when they send their patients to me, and we look at, okay, what in your home could be contributing to how you're feeling?
So interesting. I mean, it's the connection there is right in front of us. Now, you mentioned by a HEPA-certified vacuum. Can you recommend a good vacuum for us?
Yeah, so I like Miele. Miele or Miele makes an excellent vacuum. That's what I use in my home personally. I've got a few of them. And I like them. You know, a good testament to a vacuum is if you open up a canister and you open it up and you see dust outside of your bag, you know, you ever go to take the bag out and it's filthy inside the canister or in your upright, that's a bad sign. That means that all that debris and thing and all that dust, dander, and mold and whatever's been captured in there is getting out into the canister, which is getting out into your room. So you want something that's a sealed system. So when you open that vacuum and you take your bag out, if you have a bag, you know, some of them are bagless, but if you don't have a bag, if you have a bag system, there shouldn't be any of that debris in there. It should be completely sealed. And Miele does a great job of designing a vacuum that does that. They also have a vacuum, which I think is fantastic for people of asthma and allergies, is a canister vacuum. And they have, so you can imagine you vacuum up all these things and they sit in your vacuum, and then your vacuum sits in the corner of the room. Well, if you have children or anyone in the house that's allergic to, say, pet dander, and that's been vacuumed in the vacuum, they'll still react to it because it's open to the air. Miele designs a canister where they actually put a cap on the canister so that you can actually seal it after you're done vacuuming. And it won't allow that dust and all the things that you've captured in the bag to be ready to change it back out into the air, which I think is phenomenal. Especially, I recommend that a lot for my patients who, you know, have asthma, allergies, you know, they're sick, they have people chronic illness in the house, and we're trying to keep their dander and stuff down with physicians. So I recommend we use systems like that.
Another great tip, and we'll put a link to that on the show notes page at radiomd.com. All right, before we get to the high five, can you talk about pets a little bit? You've mentioned dander, et cetera. Is there a general rule about pets in the house?
Well, pets are great, and I don't like to really be negative about them because of the fact that they bring us so much emotional joy, right? But the problem is, if you have people in the house who do have chronic conditions, whether that be asthma, allergies, any kind of chronic, you know, illness, pets can be really hard on the immune system. They produce proteins that cause inflammation, and those things are look like little sticky balls that sort of get stuck. If you saw them under a microscope, you'd look like you have these little sticky balls all over your house. Those things can promote inflammation. They can trigger, you know, conditions in people. So if you're going to have a pet, make sure you wipe their paws when they come in. They can track in a lot of bacteria, which can be, you know, specifically harder on people who are the elderly or people who have compromised immune systems. Make sure that you wipe down your walls once a year, at least if not twice a year. Try to remove a lot of those that sticky material with a little bit of vinegar and water. You can do like a 50-50 combination. And you have to be vacuuming regularly. And just be cognizant of the fact that these pets do put a lot of stress on the body. And, you know, if you have health conditions, you might want to really, you know, consider get before you get a pet.
Right. I am scrubbing my house after this interview. I swear to God, Caroline. Oh, my God. I'm freaking out.
No, I'm kidding.
Luckily, I have hardwood floors pretty much throughout the house, so I'm in pretty good shape there. But you've got to keep those hardwood floors clean as well. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Caroline Blazovsky. And if I could ask a favor, if you like what you're hearing, if you're digging this interview, jump over to iTunes. You'll find my page. Just look for Which Way Is Life and rate and review the podcast. By doing that, we get exposed to a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people. And that's what this podcast is all about. So if you could do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. The high five with my guest today, Caroline Blazovsky, is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Caroline Blazovsky. Caroline, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one, what lit your spark and passion for environmental health?
I had allergies myself, and I felt like there weren't a lot of answers and ways for people to address the issue of allergies. We didn't know enough. So I got into figuring out a way to do that.
And then you just kind of fell in love with it.
I did. Oh, I like I said earlier in the program, I love helping people, and it just comes very natural to me. So I just, you know, started realizing I could really make a difference and impact people's lives, and that's what I did.
Well, I'm not happy that you had allergies, but I'm happy that you found this profession because you're helping a lot of people, and we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Question number two, when people find out what you do, what's the first question you usually get asked?
I usually get asked, what do you think is going on in my home? Can you test my home? Can you find out what might be making me sick in my home? So I think people don't always think about their homes as the first, when they get sick, they don't think about that as the first defense, right? Your first defense is, I got to get to the doctor, I don't feel well. And then after you go to the doctor and maybe they don't come up with the answers, then you start looking at other alternatives. And that's where my company and what I do is designed to help physicians as a second effort to say, okay, well, we know our environments play a big part into how we feel. How can we improve them and make people feel better?
Exactly. All right, question number three. Is there a home health gadget or some kind of a device or apparatus we all should own but we don't?
That would go back to that relative humidity monitor. And you can pick one up at a home, you know, a Home Depot or Lowe's, or just a little monitor that monitors your temperature and your RH in your home. Put it in your home and try to keep that relative humidity between 30 and 50%. And it should only cost you about, you know, $10, $12. Pick it up and monitor that, and that'll really help you keep your home healthy.
So I guess if you have one takeaway from this episode with Caroline, go do that. Go buy that monitors and see what kind of humidity you have in your home, because if it's high, that could be a cause of some of the issues you're dealing with possibly.
Exactly. Yep.
All right, question number four. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
My favorite quote is a public health quote. I've recently gone back to Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California for a public health degree. And one of the things that I like is that 90% of your health is determined by your genetics, your environment, your socioeconomic status, and, of course, your behaviors. So whatever is going to make Bill healthy really has nothing to do with how often Bill goes to the physician. Only 10% of your health care is going to determine your health. 90% of it is the way you live. So to me, that is such an important takeaway. It means that, look, we really need to start looking at what we're doing, how we're behaving, our environmental factors, what we do for a living, how we live, and that's going to determine how healthy you are. So that's a big part of preventative medicine, and what I do is really getting people on the right track to health and looking at our homes and looking at where we live to make us healthier. So I think that's huge.
That is huge, and I think I'm in trouble. I'm in serious trouble now. Thank you, Caroline. I'm in deep trouble.
Oh, all right. No. It's never too soon to change.
You're right about that, darn it. All right, question number 5. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is...
When life gives you a lemon, make it into lemonade.
I like it. And it makes it... And that fits right in with your mantra, freshly squeezed, healthy, goodness, and all fresh. And no mold on it. No mold on that lemon.
No moldy lemons.
Wipe that lemon down, for sure. All right, Caroline. Well, thank you for your time today. How can we connect with you?
Everyone can find us at healthyhomeexpert.com. And if people are interested in testing their homes, finding out how healthy your home is, there's so many things you can look at. And if you do have unexplained symptoms and you don't know, you're not getting the answers and you're not sure, but you know you're not feeling well, start looking at your home environment and seeing if there's things you can do to improve your wellness.
Great advice, and thank you for sharing that with us. And we will put links to Caroline's website and other things on the show notes page at RadioMD.com. So if you didn't catch that, just go there and you'll find all of that stuff. Caroline, thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to leave you with one of my...
Bill.
Oh, you bet. I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Caroline, a lot of great advice. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you again, Caroline, and thank you for listening. I hope you got something out of that interview. I certainly did, and I'm going to be scrubbing the house if you know what I'm saying to you. If you could, remember to subscribe to Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And if I could ask a favor again, if you liked what you heard today, go over to iTunes. You got to have an account, though. So if you have an iTunes account, go over to iTunes. Search Which Way Is Life. You'll see my podcast pop up. Click on ratings and reviews. Rate and review the podcast, and that would help me reach a wider audience and help more people, which this podcast is all about. So if you would do that for me, I would really appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and on Facebook. Hit me up there. And you can check out all the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.